I want you to be turning with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll ask you to follow along silently as I read in your hearing. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Verse number 8 is my text tonight. I'm going to use some other verses, but notice the emphasis. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I'll cease to read there. That takes us down through verse number 11. The second epistle to the Corinthians was written primarily to comfort. The first epistle was a message of rebuke and correction and instruction. But after there was repentance, and after things were set in order, Paul said, I'd like to comfort you. He said, I've been through suffering and sorrow. And he said, I'd like for God, if he would, to use that to comfort you. And he uses this little term. In verse 4, he calls it our tribulation. In verse 6, it's a sister term, afflicted. And then again in verse 8, our trouble. I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight on the holy design of our troubles. Now, that's a big subject. And I could never embrace it the way it should be embraced in these moments tonight. But God has worked these verses in my heart for some time. We know that Paul was a man who lived in victory and triumph. Yet he admits in these verses that he has been brought down to a point where he despaired of life. My personal feeling is he thought he was going to die. It's interesting, isn't it? In the first epistle, he said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God will also make a way of escape." But in the second epistle, he said, "I thought it was over." Now, really, you'd expect this from me. If I said, "I thought that was the end," you could have said, "Well, you know how Tommy is. He's sometimes negative, and his mom and dad named him right when they named him Thomas. And we know that he's had some battles, bless his heart." So you could respond that way if I said I thought that I was a goner. But this is not Tom. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Probably the greatest Christian that, as we would know it on this side of the cross. The greatest apostle, the greatest preacher. And yet he admits that his trouble was of such nature that he thought that he was going to die. What's the purpose of all this? Why does God allow us to suffer? It's His path, isn't it? It's the path of Christ. He did not go to heaven without suffering, and neither will you, and neither will I. It's God's purpose in conforming us to the image of His Son. As the old song said, if we don't bear the cross, we can't wear the crown. And so I want us to look at a few answers to that question. What is the design? What is the purpose of our troubles? Now, I was in a meeting recently and I preached from this text because it's been living in me. And the dear brother before me preached a wonderful sermon on the second coming. He had all the answers. And I was kind and grinned and listened. And when I got up, I told them, "This dear brother has studied many more years than I have. And I appreciate his insight on the second coming. But I'm going to preach on something that I'm more familiar with. Trouble. I may not be able to tell you about a lot of things, but there's some troubles in the way. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Not many days, but a whole lot of trouble. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to address this truth. I love what the little lady said in the prayer meeting when the preacher said, who knows why God allows us to, why God sends us tribulation? What does He want us to do with tribulation? She was just certain she had to answer. And she said, "Preacher, it's to tribulate." Well, I think we all have tribulated. Like the old mountaineer up home, they asked him how he'd been doing. He said, "Boys, I've been going through tire mint sideways. I'm not sure how you spell tire mint." And it wasn't bad enough to go through it. He's going through it sideways. I want to say tonight, beloved, we all at one time or another have our troubles. But what is God's purpose? What is God's design with these scriptures? I'd like to give a couple of thoughts. First of all, I believe that God allows us to have troubles that we may see the nature of God. Now, I confess that I see a lot of myself. Do you? Now, when I first started, I didn't see much of myself. But the further I go, the more I see. Woe is me. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm not just amazed that God would reach down His hand in grace to save me. I'm amazed that He keeps dealing with me. And He keeps working with me. And sometimes I get my eyes on people. I see myself at times, and that's discouraging. And I look at others, and they're doing so much better. That's discouraging. And my thoughts are, well, what's the answer? The answer is that I might know Him, that I might see Him, that I might catch a glimpse of Him. Here, listen to this, and I'll come to these verses. For 42 chapters, Job went through the meal. 32 of them involved his brethren. You can't have many trials without the brethren being a part of. They're going to be there, brother. They're going to tell you what they think and how they feel. And I believe part of our growing up is learning not to be ugly to them while they're trying to put us down. At any rate, when Job had gone through all of it, he said in the end, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Lord, you've brought me through all this fire and through all this fog that I might see thee, that I might know thee in a new way. Notice, first of all, Paul begins with praise in verse 3 after greeting the saints. He said, blessed be God. I do believe it's possible not to lose a spirit of praise in our troubles. I believe God is able to establish our hearts with praise. And Paul, he said recently in verse number 8, he said happened recently. We will not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. And he sort of pours out his heart to them in this recent battle or conflict. But he hasn't lost his praise. Blessed be God, he says. Blessed be God. I didn't understand it in years gone by. An old timer in my home church, he wasn't an avid reader. He didn't have a good vocabulary. He didn't go very far in school. But when he had been having a hard time, he'd start saying, hallelujah anyhow. I believe he had a key. I believe he had some understanding. Just because we're having conflicts doesn't mean that we can't celebrate him and what he's doing. And so he says, blessed be God. Isn't that a way to start out a letter? When you've been having trouble, I'd probably want to say, have you heard? Did you know? Did they tell you? But Paul starts out, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Only God can put that in your heart. Well, Paul, what is it about God that you have seen that's a part of our trials? He says, I'd like to remind you that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. God often allows us to go through trouble that we may see the nature of God. This word mercy, as it's used here, or mercies, plural, is translated in a few other texts, compassions. I believe that God allows us to go through trials that we might see the compassionate nature of God. Now, I'm grateful for people. I'm thankful for people's prayers and people's encouragement. Not long ago, I had a little dip in my soul, a little down moment. And I thought it was interesting how God timed it all. This fella came up to me and he said, "I know you don't think anybody's been thinking about you, but," he said, "I've prayed for you for the last 3 days constantly." Now, you think God wasn't in there? Don't try to tell me God wasn't in there. It seemed to raise my heart back with a consciousness of God. I'm grateful for people. I even like a little encouragement, a little pat every now and then. But I want to tell you what people's words cannot do and what a little attention cannot do. There's a God who has mercy. There's a God who is compassionate. And He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and He allows us to go through trouble so we can see God does care for me. God is interested in me. The compassionate nature of God. Then Paul goes on to say, not only do I bless God, the Father of mercies, and therefore speaking of the compassionate nature of God, but he calls Him, and oh, what a title, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Now, here Paul sees the comforting nature of God. This word comfort carries with it the idea of coming alongside of and strengthening and encouraging. And Paul said, when nobody else could get to me, the God of all comfort knew where I was. And the God of all comfort came alongside me and encourage me and strengthen me. I say, beloved, don't throw up your hands because of what you're facing or because of what's against you. God would have you look beyond yourself. God would have you look beyond everybody else. God would have you see Him and His compassionate nature, His comforting nature. Isaiah, in one of the darkest hours of his life, when not only his friend but his king, Uzziah, had died, he said he went into the temple of the Lord. And he said, in that year of despair and gloom, with my king gone and my friend gone, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon His throne. And He said, His glory fill the earth. I say, beloved, God would remind us of who He is, what He's like. And then I want to go a step farther. Look at verse number 4. I've mentioned the word comfort in verse 3. Notice how many times it appears. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, it's actually the same term, also aboundeth. Verse 6, consolation, comforted. Consolation. Verse 7, consolation. Again, this word consolation or comfort is a kindred word to the comforter, the one called alongside of, to assist us, to help us, to strengthen us. And so I would say, secondly, God allows trouble to come our way, not only that we may see the nature of God. He's the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. But secondly, that we may sense the nearness of God. He comes along beside us. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I got enough folks in that line without y'all getting any. I know that the Holy Spirit lives within. He's our pneuma, the life, the breath, spiritually. But oh, let me say, He not only has an inner work, He has a longside work. And I don't know about you, but I need that alongside work. You remember when Jesus appeared in the upper room? The Bible says that He was standing in their midst. Why was He standing there near them? So He could pull them up. He could lift them up. I say to you tonight, the Holy Ghost not only comes alongside of us, but the Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, draws near to us. In our darkest hours, God doesn't have any problem seeing where we are. In our most troublesome moments, God is not pushed away by the high winds and the rough waves. He draws near to the trusting soul. He comes alongside of us. And so there's the revelation of His nearness. In fact, I must confess to you, I plead guilty. I do not deny it. I think some of the times that I have sensed God's presence the most has been in times of suffering, in times of brokenness, in times of hurt, in times of anguish. And as the old songwriter says, He whispers sweet peace to me. Be still, He said, and know that I am God. And in our hours of turbulence and trouble and affliction, He draws near to us, reveals His nearness. I love that old chorus. You don't hear it much anymore. It goes like this. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. He's passing by this moment to hear your heart's cry. You'll find He's not too busy your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. His nearness. Then I would mention, not only are we made aware of the revelation of His nearness in the word comfort, but we're made aware of His nearness in the repetition of the term. Now, I'm not a quick learner. Jason can say amen here. He's tried to help me some with my computer world and my recording world. I'm a slow learner. Now, if you'll let me watch you do it two or three times, or if you'll repeat it again, not get aggravated with me, tell me again, I can catch it. Sometimes. Of course, some of y'all That's why you're here tonight. They repeated in the 11th grade what they told you in the 10th. And that's how you made a little progress. I'll ever be grateful for the state of North Carolina. When I was in the 12th grade, they instituted general math in the classroom. General math was third and fourth grade arithmetic. For us dodos who had had a fight and a battle with algebra and geometry and lost. I'm saying it takes me several times to get something. Isn't it interesting? Paul didn't say it one time. He said it seven times. Comfort, comforteth, comforted, comfort, comforting, comforted. It's almost as though the Holy Spirit is saying, Paul, I know that some of them will be slow to get it. Let's repeat it. Let's say it again and again and again. And I'd like to say it again tonight. The devil's a liar. Our God knows where we are. He knows what we're facing. And He comes to help us in those dark hours. He draws near. Paul said He's the God of all comfort. And He's comforted us so that we can in turn comfort you with the comfort wherewith God has comforted us. Which brings me to my last little emphasis. I'm talking about the holy design of our troubles. Now we know the ultimate goal is mentioned in verse number 9. The ultimate. The ultimate goal of our trouble is that we should not trust in ourselves. God's knocking the props out from under us. He's determined to help His little people of faith live by faith. And He just constantly kicks out this prop and knocks out this prop. And here we are like little eaglets trying to fly. Oh, God, help us. Here we're going down. Help us, Lord. And He helps us not to trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. That's the ultimate goal of our troubles. Somebody said, well, I know the Lord wants me to see Him, and I know He wants to get near. But Tom, what's the real reason? He wants you to quit leaning on the flesh. He wants you to trust Him. And so He knocks all our props out from under us with troubles. Notice the last thought, I've already alluded to it. God comforts us that we might comfort somebody else. So I would say, thirdly, the holy design of our troubles is not only that we may see the nature of God, who God is, not just our little theories and our ideas and our circumstances and our dilemmas, but see who God is. And that we may sense the nearness of God. So close that you could touch Him by faith. Old brother in our home church used to say, he said, I felt like I scrooched up to Jesus here in church tonight. I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do. Draw near to Him. While He draws near to us. Lastly, the holy design of our troubles is that we may share the nurture of God. Now, if I understand anything about preaching, it is not that you may leave here conscious of me, the preacher. Huh? Not that you can leave here saying, well, Tom did a good job. No, that is not the purpose of preaching. The purpose of preaching is that somehow I can with God's enablement, move you towards God and share the nurture of God with you. Healing and life and blessing. I don't have that in myself, but God is the God of all comfort. Firstly, there's tenderness here. He's helped us. Listen, I've been slapped around enough by people. I'm glad I can run into the arms of the Lord Jesus. He comforteth us. And not only is there tenderness for us, but God lets us suffer that we might share His nurture, that there might be some togetherness. Brother Lester and I were talking coming down the road tonight from Jacksonville. Why is it that some people seem to thrive in dividing people? In dividing Sunday school members or preachers or dividing a church family? Why do some people love that? They thrive on that when Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I believe if I'm cooperating with what God is doing in my life through trouble and trial, I want to pull the little saints of God up close to me and share the nurture of God. It's actually God sharing it through His people, isn't it? You know that mother eagle? After she's laid her eggs, maybe just one egg, two max, she goes to pulling the down out of her chest, out of her breast area. And she has a naked spot in her breast area. That's the spot that she's going to hold over the eggs so that she can incubate those little eaglets with her naked nature. Now you know if a mother eagle will do that for her little birds, there's a God in heaven who shares His naked heart. Just like those little eaglets in the shell can feel mama's heartbeat, so God wants you and me to feel His heartbeat, to know something about intimacy with Him and fellowship with Him. He would share the nurture of God. I know of a situation where a dear lady had a nervous breakdown. She ended up in the institution for a while. She sang in the choir in her church. And another lady in the church had something similar to happen to her. Guess who God used to encourage this woman who was down in the floor curled up like a little baby? When the preacher got there, he said, "I know somebody that's gone through this." "You do not," she said. "Nobody's ever gone through this." He said, "Oh yes. Do you know Sister so-and-so that sings in the choir?" "Yes." "She went through this." "No, she didn't. She couldn't sing like she sings if she felt what I felt." He said, "That's why she can sing." And he called her. And she came over there and got on the floor with them. And she said, "Sister, He brought me through. And He'll bring you through." Comforting somebody else with the comfort wherewith God has comforted us. The holy design of our troubles is to catch a fresh glimpse of God. You do remember, don't you, that before John had that great vision on the Isle of Patmos, according to church history, they had put him on the Isle of Patmos to try to isolate him from society. And there's a tradition that says that they tried to boil him in a cauldron of hot oil. And God spared him. And then he gave him all those sights to behold of the Lamb's glory and the Lamb's authority. You may be this close to seeing God in a new way. Job is sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping himself with a potsherd. And he gets to see further than he's ever seen before. And he cried from the ashes, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." How can Jesus be a Redeemer, a kinsman? He had to come to Bethlehem. I believe Job was catching a glimpse of Bethlehem. And Calvary, that's where the Redeemer paid the price. And the empty tomb, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day." That's his rule in Zion. I want to say, beloved, you may be closer to seeing further than you've ever seen before. Because of God's holy design in our trouble. Of course, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you can't see past the end of your nose anyhow. We all are blind spiritually. Mr. Newton said it right, didn't he? "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Oh, that God might open your hearts to the gospel if you're here unsaved. Open the gospel to your heart. And those of us who claim to know Him, may God grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Giving us enlightenment of our understanding, that we may know, that we may see, that we may feel. You've been so kind. Would you stand with me, please?